Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. I'm Rabbi Mark Wyshovsky with the 12-minute shiur number 54, Four Ways to Get Rid of Your Chametz. We're using a source sheet that you can download at our website, www.frihofinstitute.org/podcast. Okay, so Pesach is coming, and it's time to get rid of your chametz. That is, any substance containing any of the five grains that the halakha defines as chametz: wheat, barley, oats, rye, and spelt. Okay, this is because the Torah forbids us to possess chametz as well as to eat it. Possession, after all, can lead to eating, as we read in Exodus chapter 12, verse 15, lines 3 through 7 on the source sheet. Shivat yamim matzot tochelu. Ach, bayom harishon tashbitu so'ol mibatechem, ki kol ochel hametz v'nichreta hanefesh ahi miYisrael miyom harishon ad yom hashvi'i. For 7 days you shall eat matzot. However, on the first day you shall get rid of leaven from your houses, for whoever eats hametz from the first day to the seventh day shall be cut off from Israel. Now, several questions emerge from this pasuk. First, what's the difference between sa'or, which we've translated here as leaven, and chametz? Yeah, that's a good question, but we're not going to deal with that one here. The second question is that phrase, bayom harishon, on the first day. Does that mean that we don't have to get rid of our chametz until the first day of the festival, so that we can have it on the table during the Seder the evening before? Well, that would be absurd. And that brings us to the Talmudic passage beginning on line 12. Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, a baraita of the school of Rabbi Yishmael, says that we find that the 14th is called the first, as it is said, Exodus 12, verse 18, Barishon ba'alba'a asar yom lachodesh, on the first, on the 14th day of the month, right? So that the first day, HaRishon, is not the 15th of Nisan, but the 14th of Nisan, which would be Erev Pesach, before the Seder. The problem, of course, is that in the verse, the word Rishon refers actually to the month, that is, to Nisan, and not to the first day of the festival. Oh, well. The passage gives us other possibilities, too. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak finds a verse in Job where the word Rishon clearly means before or prior to. And then Rava reads Exodus chapter 34, verse 25, Lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi, you shall not slaughter my sacrifice along with chametz. He reads that to mean that we are not to slaughter the Korban Pesach, the Passover sacrifice, until we've gotten rid of our chametz. And since the Korban was sacrificed on the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, it follows that we have to get rid of chametz before noon on that day, that is, Erev Pesach, well in advance of the Seder. Now, the third question emerging from that verse back there on line 3 is, what is the meaning of that word tashbitu? We've translated it as getting rid of, but how precisely are we supposed to get rid of chametz? We're all familiar with the idea of bi'ur chametz, the burning or physical destruction of chametz that's performed on the morning of the 14th of Nisan. Perhaps tashbitu really means you shall physically destroy or burn the chametz in your houses. But that's not what the Torah literally says, and that's not how the tradition reads it. Targum Onkelos, the most authoritative Aramaic translation of the Torah, renders the word tashbitu as tivatlun. It's in the red font there on line 26. Tivatlun means to nullify, cancel, neutralize, pick your favorite English verb. And this nullification, or bitul, is a mental or psychological process rather than a physical one. As Rambam puts it in his Mishneh Torah, beginning on line 34, Umahi hashbata zo ha'amua ba'Torah? What is this hashbata of which the Torah speaks? It means sheyivatel, that one should mentally nullify the chametz and think of it as dust, imagining that there's no chametz at all in one's possession. Behold, it is like dust, a substance of which one has no need whatsoever. In other words, all you have to do to get rid of your chametz, at least according to the Torah, is you declare it null and void. You put it out of your mind, and therefore it is no longer in your possession. But wait a minute. What about all those texts and sources that require that we search for chametz right before Pesach and then physically destroy it? For example, the very first Mishnah of Masechet Pesachim, line 42, Or la'alba'a asar bodkin et ha'chametz la'ol haner. At the beginning of the evening on the 14th of Nisan, one searches for chametz by lamplight. And then the fourth Mishnah of the first chapter of Pesachim, we're on line 49, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda dispute about whether chametz may be eaten during the fifth hour of the day of Erev Pesach, but they both agree that it should be burned before midday. And they use that word that means burned. Clearly, we're talking about two separate halachic requirements. To burn or otherwise physically destroy chametz is a rabbinic stringency that is added to and that extends the basic Torah law. As the Talmud tells us in line 62, Bedikat chametz midrabanan hu. De midoraita bevitul ba'alma sagile. The search for chametz is a rabbinic requirement, while according to the Torah, bitul, nullification, would be sufficient to fulfill the mitzvah to get rid of chametz. Okay, so why did the rabbis enact that extra requirement, that stringency? A Tosafot comment on the first Mishnah of Masechet Pesachim explains the reason. We're starting on line 68. The comment begins with Rashi's theory. Peresh ha-kontres, shelo la'avor alav bival yera'eh uval yimatzeh. Rashi says that the rabbis instituted the requirement to search for chametz so that one would not transgress the prohibitions of, in Exodus 13, verse 7, no chametz shall be seen in your possession, and then Exodus 12:19, no chametz shall be found in your houses. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak, one of the leading scholars of the Tosfot Academy, raises a kasha, or a difficulty, against Rashi's explanation. Since we know that bitul is the Torah-itic requirement, a sufficient way of getting rid of chametz, and since we know that one who searches for chametz must subsequently perform an act of bitul or nullification, just in case he missed a tiny amount in his search, then bitul should be a sufficient means of avoiding those prohibitions that Rashi refers to. So why then did the rabbis impose the requirement of search and destroy, bedika and biur, in the first place? And Rabbi Yitzchak answers his own kasha, lines 70 and 79, de'af al gav de sagi bevitul ba'alma, even though bitul alone is sufficient, Hechmiru chachamim livdok chametz ulevaaro shelo yavo lo'ochlo. The sages imposed as a stringency the requirement to search for chametz, that's bidika, and to burn or destroy chametz, that's biur, so that one would not eat chametz accidentally. So we've covered two ways to get rid of chametz, that's bitul, nullification, and biur, physical destruction. But there are two other methods, both of which involve a transfer of ownership. That is, one can either sell or give their chametz to a non-Jew. The sale of chametz and the buying back of chametz after the festival is particularly well known as a remedy in cases where one owns a great deal of chametz, so that burning it all would involve a big financial loss. It goes back to a passage in the Tosefta, a collection of texts that date back to the Tannaitic period, that is, early rabbinic times. We're on line 84. The case concerns an emergency. A Jew finds himself on a boat right before Pesach. I don't know, maybe he's taking one of those Pesach cruises that people have. he remembers that he hasn't destroyed his chametz and he can't get back home in time to do so. All right, so what does he do? Well, he can sell or give the chametz to a non-Jew on the boat. He can even do this with the understanding that he will reacquire that chametz from the non-Jew once the festival has ended, provided that the transfer be matana gemura, a full and unencumbered sale or gift. Over the centuries, this emergency measure developed into a common every year occurrence, as we see in the Shulchan Aruch beginning on line 94. V'im macharo o netano le'enu Yehudi kodem ha-Pesach, if one sells or gives one's chametz to a non-Jew before Pesach, even though the Jew knows that the non-Jew won't touch it and he'll safeguard it until after Pesach and then give it back to him, with all that, the sale or gift is permitted, provided that the Jew transfer the chametz in the form of a full and unencumbered and unconditional gift, or of a full and unencumbered sale for a nominal price. This device works because it is made b'li shum tanai, with no conditions upon the transfer. What does that mean? That means that the chametz belongs free and clear to the non-Jew, who may eat it if he wants, and even if we keep it in our own house during Pesach, we have to allow the non-Jew to have access to it. So, even though this is a previously arranged deal, and even though the non-Jew has no intention of eating the chametz and has every intention of selling it back to the Jew at the end of the holiday, as a matter of legal fact, the Jew does not own that chametz during Pesach, and therefore has fulfilled the requirement of tashbitu, you shall get rid of the chametz in your possession. So, now that we've gone through the four ways of getting rid of chametz, how will you get rid of your chametz this year? Maybe you'll want to grab on to all the stringencies to physically destroy your chametz or sell it to a non-Jew. Giving it away to a food bank or other charitable cause is a particularly nice idea. But if for some reason you want to recover your chametz after Pesach, we'd suggest the method of bitul, of nullification. After all, that's what the original Torah law requires. Yeah, we know the objections, that you might accidentally eat the chametz during Pesach if it's there physically, or that bitul isn't genuine because you can't really put the chametz out of your mind for the entire festival, and that you don't really intend to render it ownerless because you really want to take it back after the holiday is over. Good point, but then those objections apply with equal strength to the sale of chametz. I mean, when you sell your chametz, you could still accidentally eat it, and you don't really intend that the non-Jew should keep it, and yet the device of sale is acceptable under halacha. Why should bitul be any different? We don't think it is. Anyway, that's just some unleavened food for thought for the season. This has been the 12-minute shiur from the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halacha. Thanks for learning with us. Chag Kasher v'Sameach, and Lehitraot.